Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I'm just delighted to be here chatting with you. And I decided to talk today about my experiences and memories with regards to reincarnation. Keep in mind, it might not be your experiences, but I think there are some interesting things here that perhaps we might have in common with one another. And so if I go through some of these memories, it jogs a memory in you. Perhaps you had something similar happen to you or something you want to comment on. Please give us a call. Share your experiences or thoughts with us and our audience. And our number here is 877-876-5227. Now, something that is happening to me, and I'm sure is happening to a lot of people out there, because this seems to be one of the big things that we're working through right now, and that is to clear past life experiences from that energy body, which is one of the subtle bodies next to the physical body. And this is in preparation for that process of ascending. And there has been energies that has come to the earth that is helping to bring these issues to the forefront. And the reason that this is happening is because usually these traumas from the past are negative, and we cannot move to a higher dimension with negative, clinging to negative emotions. This has been something in the past that has continuously gone on. For instance, golly, you might not remember, but if you're a student of history, you know that the world has been a pattern of wars and tribulations and famines and people dying in unexpected ways. And the trauma of some of those deaths were not transmuted when the person died, and so they held on to those energies. Those energies stayed here because they couldn't go to the next dimension when you crossed over, and they would have to be dealt with when you came back into the next lifetime. So this, in a nutshell, is how and why all of this clearing needs to be done. And a lot of us are feeling the aches and pains in the body, and some of those aches and pains have to do with these past lifetime experiences. So that's why I chose this topic today, because I personally have been going through some what I think is interesting experiences, and perhaps you will think so too. So that is on the drawing board, so to say. All of us need to clear these, and perhaps this will give you some insight. I've learned that there are specific kinds of pain that one has. It could be in any part of the body. I've heard of some people where they had a pain in the knee, worked with that to remember or to see in the third eye, where in a past lifetime they were a warrior that had been injured in the knee. Could be in the chest, could be in the side, because in the past a lot of times we were run through with swords or spikes or whatnot, and we're feeling some sensitivity in an area. So that's to give you a little thought as to what you might be feeling. I have done this work myself, and I have also worked with other people. This is one of the wonderful assists that we have right now, that we have energy workers that we can work with to release some of this past life trauma. On Saturdays, for instance, when I do my show with my co-host, with Caroline Allen, there are past lifetime memories that have occurred in the physical that is too long to deal with on the radio, and so Caroline asks them to call where she can deal with it over the telephone. So many of us are feeling this. And sometimes it's in areas where we don't connect this to a past lifetime. But whenever we have a pain, whenever we have a condition, I'm not suggesting that we not see a doctor, because that's the furthest from the truth. I think that that's an important thing. But I'm also suggesting that when these pains come about, that we also concentrate on it and see if it has a spiritual connection. So I was talking to one of my friends who is an energy worker, and I had a pain in my chest that I'm starting to recognize the kind of pain that it is something connected to a past lifetime. And so we were working together, and as we were talking to one another, it brought up a lifetime in Egypt. Now, I don't know how you might see these things, or if you even see them, because you don't necessarily have to see a past lifetime. It's just a case of working with the energy of that pain. But I see it in the third eye. I see it as individuals, along with that intuitive sense that I know exactly what's going on. Everybody is different in this sense, and many do not have any of these visuals. I kind of have this little television screen that goes on that sometimes is a blessing and sometimes it isn't. But this lifetime, with this particular pain or energy, this is stuck energy is what it is. That's what's causing the pain. It's simply stuck energy. It's a type of an illusion, but it must be released. And so I see this gentleman. I was this gentleman. He was someone who was working in the temple, male, I said gentleman, and his head was shaved, which perhaps they did this because the weather was as hot as it was. So the head was shaved. He only had a loincloth, sandals, and a gold chain around his neck with a medallion hanging from it, which was a designation of his office, what he was doing. And so this gentleman was a student. And what the students of the temple were when they were under instruction, it was what they were taught to do was to eliminate all negative emotions, which one of the big emotions was fear. And so as they worked through ridding their personality of any kind of negative emotion, when the teacher thought that they were ready, they would pass through different initiations in a different temple. In other words, each temple had its own challenge. It had its own test. And the student would work at the temple until their teacher thought they were ready to pass the test. And when they were ready to pass the test, they went on to the next temple. And the very last initiation was done in the Great Pyramid at Cheops. And what the initiate would do then, after passing all of the other preliminary tests, is they went through a process where their soul could pass to the next dimension and return. Their physical body would be in the king's chamber in the sarcophagus. And so that was the ultimate test. Would they survive that? Would they be able to advance to the higher dimensions and come back after that initiation? Now, interestingly, one part of the test, just to tell you how difficult this was, this wasn't an easy thing, getting your grades in this school. One of the things that the initiate would do before they took their final exam, so to say, is you're probably aware that there is a chamber underneath of the pyramid, and the initiate would go down through the chamber in total darkness down to the bottom of that pit, and there is a purpose for that, because this was a place where whatever thought that the initiate carried, this mental creation that they had in their mind, they would actually materialize this thought form. So if, you know, walking down a long corridor, which you're not quite sure what you're going to come up with in the dark, could be kind of scary. So if a person was afraid of snakes, they could materialize some snakes. If they were afraid of dying from a snake bite, well, that just might happen too. And you might wonder, well, my golly, that was rather serious. Well, actually it was, because every one of these initiations, the initiate could lose their life. Unless they had complete control over their emotions, it was a possibility. Of course, they had teachers that worked with them and felt that they were ready, but sometimes the initiate died, and this was not something to be alarmed about, because they did hold in their belief system that they would come back. They believed in reincarnation, and so they knew that they could be clothed very quickly in another body. So this particular individual who I was, to explain how they found an initiate, is if a baby was born and they had a caul on their face, which is a membrane of skin that is on the head or the face, you're probably aware that this is recognized as some sort of a sign that the child is psychic. And this was something that the teachers in the school were attuned to. And, of course, they had other things that they looked for, too. But if a child was born this way, they would be a candidate for the teaching in the school. Interestingly, my mother in that lifetime was alone, and I didn't get a sense of why she was alone, if she was a widow or just exactly what happened, but it was just she and her son. And so they told her that by the time he got to be age 7, they would come back and take the child for service in the temple. Of course, it was considered an honorable thing. The mother would be given money to take care of her in her later years because they were taking the child who, in essence, would have been able to take care of her. So they gave her money. But this mother was very close to the child and didn't want to give the child up, was very distraught about the whole thing, to the point that the son felt guilt in even leaving her and felt a failure in the relationship between the mother and him. So I'm kind of placing a foundation so that you understand what, first of all, the challenge was, what the mission was, and in essence, what the failure was, because as that initiate in Egypt, this man who was a student, who I recognized to be myself, he died in an initiation. Now, the mother blamed herself. She knew she was supposed to give up this child without clinging to him, and she didn't. Now, this really gets interesting because the woman who is the energy worker who was working with me on relieving this pain, you know, life is so interesting. Nothing is a coincidence, is it? Because, as you might suspect, this woman who was working with me was also my mother in that past lifetime. And so here we had a situation where the two of us were working to clear a pain in my present body, and we find this past life relationship. And so we were working on clearing that pain. However, this woman who was my mother felt unworthy when she died that she had held her son back and caused him an early death, and she refused to walk into the light. Well, of course, this woman that I connected to, who was my mother, pleaded with me to forgive her. And naturally, I would have. And so here was this beautiful opportunity of love and forgiveness. And then we directed her into the light, which after she was felt she was forgiven, she would agree to go into the light, which was a very fascinating aspect, I think, of this concept of reincarnation. Anybody wants to call in with their stories that they remember of past lifetimes, either in dreams or in actual experiences, whether it's through the third eye or through some other psychic means, maybe working with an energy worker, please call in. Share with us your story, whether you agree or disagree. It's all perfect. It's all interesting. And the number here is 877-876-5227. And so getting along with that, if you haven't read the book Chaos Before Creation, which is where 13 masters have come to me and given me stories of every aspect, well, I wouldn't say every, but each one has a different aspect of healing. They talk about how these traumas from the past are lodged in our energy body and how to clear them spiritually, because we need to do it for ascension, and we also need to do it that if these symptoms are not dealt with, that they can work for a period of time and eventually turn into what we call disease. Again, we're not suggesting that when one suffers symptoms that we don't check out with our doctor. We're just saying that if you have a subtle discomfort in the very beginning, go with the pain and see if you can find a spiritual reason for it. Chaos Before Creation is found at my website, carolynevers.com. And Carolyn is spelled C-A-R-O-L-Y-N. I've had some people have difficulty getting to the website because they weren't spelling Carolyn correctly. And all of my work, all the books, the courses, are all available through that website. Now, let's talk a little bit about the soul before it enters the physical world. And so a plan is set up before coming into this world, and we all know that. We set up challenges to be faced in that lifetime because we're about learning universal truth and growth. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little tired of growth, but it seems to be part of the scheme. And so when we're in spirit, we don't have a connection to these kind of emotions that are negative. You know, somebody's killed by another or raped or robbed or whatever in this plane. I mean, we kind of get connected to that. But in spirit, when they're looking at these emotions, they are, and we are, looking at them as primarily teaching tools and a means for assimilating and clearing energies and growing. And so by the time we come here, if we've had some serious experiences surrounding death in particular, this energy of the trauma is what is getting stuck in the energy body. And so this is what we are clearing. And this is what we're recognizing as pain. So when we die in a lifetime and we move on to the next dimension, those negative emotions can't be taken with us. They stay on this plane. And then when we come back, these emotions are in a seed, so to say. And as we are forming our new life, this seed is taken into the bloodstream through our DNA, and this is what we now must clear in the physical. And so what can happen is, over many lifetimes, instead of reducing these blockages, they have been accumulating. And so another thing is, if we have a fear around a certain issue, I believe the soul sets up situations between lifetimes so that when we come back, we're forced to face that condition or pattern that we haven't cleared in the past. And so if we don't do this willingly, we are subject to much suffering in a lifetime that some label as karma. And so in the past, we have been required to clear this by ourselves. We've had the prompting of our soul and our angels, but ultimately that responsibility towards perfection was our responsibility. And so what we have been told is that there is a dispensation that has been given to us, and the karmic board has decreed that we can clear these responsibilities with the help of an energy worker. And it is very interesting working with an energy worker. As I said, Caroline is one that does it. I'm sure you know of others. And I'll be having another guest on board, Yoshiko Yamamoto, that works with these energy clearings also. And her work is incredibly fascinating. And so the opportunity for ascension is being offered to us again. And this is not the only time that we have had this opportunity. We've had this opportunity many times, but there have been few people who have been able to take advantage of that. the Templars, for instance, this was why they built the Gothic cathedrals. It was about working with the soul and qualities, using sunlight and colors from the gemstones that were ground in the windows. They actually ground gemstones to make that glass, and there was a reason for that. The sun came through the gemstones and in the different colors infusing the body and helped to prepare the body for ascension, and they actually did this. So this is not the first time it has happened, but we have something a little differently that is happening this time, where we're actually going to have a shift and a division in the dimensions, and Spirit is hoping that more and more people are going to be able to move into the higher dimensions. Now, there was something else, another event that I thought was so fascinating that I put together for today's show. And it gave me a little inkling as to how and why our soul explores certain thoughts and concepts. And again, I had been working with another pain, this time clearing a pain in my side and working with another energy worker, Yoshiko, for instance, in releasing this. And what you do is when you feel this, something that seems a little bit different, sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's not, you go to that spot, and what you're trying to do is to feel the energy, the emotion that is surrounding that. And so what I saw this time, and Yoshiko did also, I was in a female form at the time, and I was being stabbed in my side and killed. As so many times in the past, this was a male-dominated society that I lived in, and I was killed for speaking my truth. Well, I always was one to do a lot of talking. I guess I haven't stopped doing that. But because I was killed for speaking my truth, there was a fear that grew up about that. And I realized that at that moment, it wasn't the first time that I had died in that fashion. And so it seems that if we have a lesson to learn, in other words, if we have a fear, or we have developed a fear in some fashion, and I'll use this example because I think it's a good example, a fear of being who you are, of speaking your truth, of making yourself known, your place, who you are, and I don't mean trampling over anyone else, but just expressing your right to be who you are. If you have a fear that surrounds that, as this particular woman did in the past, that there is a tendency to attract another similar experience in the next lifetime. So in other words, this event is going to come back time and time again until you really hit the aha, I understand that. I don't have to go through this anymore because I understand it was the fear. I didn't need to go there. And so I could see that I had several lifetimes responding to that same kind of attraction, responding to that same kind of death experience. Now, what gets interesting here is I remember as I was dying, and of course, there wasn't another woman that wielded the sword. This was a male-dominated society. It was a male. And as I am dying, I am questioning in my mind, why in the world does a man have a desire or a reason to kill someone who only wishes to bring forth truth? Profound question, wasn't it? Well, I could see the next lifetime that followed after that. So it was time now to change form. I was a man. I was going to find out what made him tick that the male wished to kill those who wanted to bring forth truth. And so I watched him, and I could see this man had choices. He could follow what was being taught to him by society, or he could choose to follow compassion and love. And what I can sense about him was this great pressure that was being placed upon him through society, dictating to him, or at least telling him, how a man should or ought to express himself. And I could see that he was manly, but he didn't go that way of being should or ought, killing people for expressing a difference of opinion for the church or the state. He had expressed the compassion and love that he had learned throughout the many female lifetimes that he had expressed. And so, as you might imagine, didn't have to come back and explore that question again. So, the situation that I had been through had set up my question. And I could see that my soul had decided to work on that question. And because the proper choices were made in that lifetime, the male made the proper choice. He acted with an open heart, full of compassion and love. And that meant that I didn't have to come back and learn that lesson again. And all I could say to that is, thank heavens, glad that lesson was over. So, if you have a comment, or if you have a memory, or if you have an experience that you would like to share, give us a call, 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, that number is 888-810-8322. Don't hold back. Call. Because what's going to happen is we're going to get to 5 minutes before the hour, and you're going to decide you want to talk, and then the show's over. So pick up your phone now. Tell me your experiences, what you thought and felt, even if they were fleeting incidents. I'll tell you another quick story about a friend of mine that had read the book Chaos Before Creation. And she had this intense pain in the heel of her foot. And she had had it for some time. And I talked to her about, you know, she didn't have an energy worker, but we talked about going with the pain and how to surround it in white light and how to release it to the universe to be transmuted. And so she was working this process, and apparently she was having some trouble in identifying with the emotion, and so she called me on the phone, and I could see her as a infant. And there was a soldier holding her as this infant upside down and killing her with the sword. And just hearing that story released that. She was then able to feel the emotion of that energy. And it's just stuck energy. It is just an illusion. It is just energy that is stuck in the energy body that needed to be released. That's all it was. It was nothing other than an illusion, but they have to be cleared. So there's many stories like that. I'm sure you have a few. Call us. Let us know what you might have experienced. Now, that's all that I prepared for that particular topic. I mean, there is a lot more information that that I could have given you, but I think you get the idea. Now, what I want to do for the second half of the show, for those of you who might be aware, I've been very privileged to be able to work with the cherubim angels in the center of the cosmos, and they hold the energy records for all forms of life and planetary structures and organizational structures that have that exist in the cosmos. And on my website, which you can get to through carolynevers.com, is the Akashic Reading site. And there is some stories there of all of the different places where the Akashic records are located, which I found very fascinating. The cherubim explained the different deposits where these records are kept, and they are vibrational records, and they move their way up through the different dimensions until ultimately they reach the cherubim. And it is the cherubim's responsibility, or shall I say one of the responsibilities, is to work with these records, and it is why they are doing readings for people through me, because it is their mission. There's two sides of this energy band. There is an energy band that is the closest to source.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Who am I speaking to?
This is Richard. It's been a while since I visited with you.
Hi,
how are
Richard.
You doing?
Good talking to you, dear. Did you have a comment on a memory of a past lifetime?
Ashley, you started explaining where the second half of the show is going, and that was my question. I was, I've been on the show with you and Carolyn a couple times before.
Hasn't it been fun?
It's always a pleasure. My question today is, though, is there anything that you can see from the Akashic Records that I specifically was supposed to work on in this lifetime?
I can do that for you, Richard, but I will tell you this, that usually when somebody takes on a mission and did you ever have a full reading for you?
No,
okay,
I actually came on the show and you kind of handed it off to Carolyn and she worked on some other things and that's how that went.
Well, with missions, let me explain this to you because this kind of gives you a little foundation. We usually choose missions, from what I can see, according to the kind of talent, the kind of gifts that has been created or given to us at the point of creation. And in just about every reading that I do for people, the cherubim explain the colors, the sounds, the intent, and what God had intended, they call Prime Creator, or all that is, what Prime Creator had intended that particular soul fulfill, in other words, what their destiny was. And it's really quite fascinating because we wind up with an enormous pattern, this gorgeous mosaic, where Prime Creator had this picture of how the world was going to evolve, and so that each soul is called in with a specific kind of talent or job that was given them. And they tell me many times, and this is so beautiful, is that before you are called into form, and they use this expression, called from nothingness, Source knew you and had a specific design for you. And this is with each soul, that this was nothing that was created, that was haphazard. So that part of all of this is usually a little bit too long and evolved to give on the radio, but I wanted you to understand where that comes from. Why we do the sort of things that we do is, in a sense, because we were programmed to do those things. And this is very helpful to understand the color ray that we were brought on and the kinds of tools that we were given. And, for instance, I was going to go into this reading for this individual. He asked the very question that you were asking, what's the purpose, what led to it, and this particular individual is going to be working with Archangel Michael in the New Golden Galaxy, and it is because of the talents or the gifts that he was given. And so without having that first part, I'll be glad to check and find out the second part. In other words,
okay,
what you agreed to.
I guess there's two questions there. The other question would be, as you started to make a comment earlier about going into ascension, there were certain things that you would have to resolve. And if there's any of those specific issues that I should be resolving at this point in time.
Richard, we all have it. We all have the same path in that respect, and that is to clear out the energy body. You probably have seen pictures of the physical where it has bands of colors. Some people get these pictures through Kirlian photography, mm-hmm. where there are different subtle bodies around the physical body. And there is a section there that holds these energy patterns from the past. And that's why I was explaining some of the things that I went through. We have, I can't say for you, but I can say for myself, I have experienced so many lifetimes on the planet Earth that they are just about uncountable. And if you can imagine having so many lifetimes, you have accumulated energy that has become stuck in this energy body that you're working with right now, and that all has to be cleared, because usually they're negative things, maybe tribal rivalries, fears, so much from the past we carry now, and that has to be cleared. Now, in one of my books, Conversations with Caesar, he explains this. He says that, and I've heard this from others too, that when you go to bed at night, you're usually in a relaxed state. You get in bed, you kind of settle down, and you relax. And what you do is you mentally scan your body. You start with your feet, or you could start with your head, whichever way is the most comfortable. And you send your consciousness into each part of your body. I don't know if you believe in this or not, Richard, but the mind, our cells communicate with one another. Do you agree with that, or have you read things about that?
Oh, I believe in that wholeheartedly. I guess I'm just kind of in the in the time and space where I'm trying to teach myself to actually do that.
Okay, well, this is how you start. I find it easiest if you lie in bed, because you're relaxed. You're in the alpha state. You're not in theta, but you're in the alpha, and you're relaxed. Your body is starting to relax. I start with my feet, and I just think of them. I just send a mental thought to my feet, trying to feel any kind of emotion. And you gradually, you're scanning your body, and you move your thought up through your legs. Now, this isn't something that you rush. You just take your time. At some point, from your feet to the top of your head, you're going to find an area that you feel a discomfort. It could be anywhere. I seem to get a lot of mine in the chest area, the knees. That seems to be my pattern, but I think everybody's pattern is going to be different.
I've started doing that a little bit in meditation, and I've been focusing on my legs.
Uh-huh.
One of the conversations that we had with myself and you and Carolyn was that through other lifetimes, I've kind of carried baggage that's being stored in my legs, and therefore I keep having leg injuries one lifetime after another.
That was a little bit of what I discussed earlier about how if an issue is not resolved, there is a resonance that attracts like. And if you haven't resolved an issue, you have a tendency to attract that same issue that you're facing again. And so the legs, for many people, are a problem, especially if in the past you've been a warrior, a knight, a knee problem, if it's a past life, could be an injury, or it could be that you were forced to get on your knee and pay homage to a king or some petty knight that you didn't want to do. And so there are a lot of issues around legs. And so let's talk about the leg. When you lay down and you start feeling a discomfort in some place of your leg, and you'll probably find it since you've got these past issues, stay with it for a second and focus your mind on it. And then you say to yourself, what does that feel like? You are trying to feel an emotion. Now, I know this sounds strange, but if you work with that and you stay with that and you're looking for an emotion, what does that feel like? Eventually, you're going to feel the energy of an emotion. It could be hatred. It could be fear. Those seem to be two of the biggies, but there are others. And that is what you're looking for. Once you feel the emotion, you're in like Flynn, so to say. You've identified the place, you've identified the stuck energy, and you have identified what that energy is. And if it is fear, then allow yourself to feel that. And as soon as you feel it, you then call in white light. You imagine white light or golden light surrounding that area, and you mentally are willing to turn that over to source or to the universe to be transmuted. Now, everybody is different. When I do this and I feel that energy and I turn that over to the universe, I can actually feel it leave. I feel somewhat like a shudder almost, like you had a little chill. You know how sometimes you get a little chill and you shake? I can actually feel that leaving. I'm not saying that everybody is going to feel that, because we are all different. We have different gifts, and it might not affect you the same way. Now, there's another thing that you could do too, Richard. You can set the intention that whatever needs to be transmuted, that you set this intention through your God self, that any negative issue that has to do with your leg, that you want this brought forth and transmuted, and ask your guardian angel or other angels who are working with you on this to be of assistance to you, or Archangel Michael and his angels. They cannot step in and do this work with you unless you invite them.
Okay. I've been doing a lot of that lately. I just haven't invited the archangels in. I've done a lot of meditation lately, and a lot of peace has come to me from throughout it.
That is beautiful. When I did my Christmas show, and I don't know, did you hear the Christmas show?
I think I actually caught the second half of it.
Well, there, it might be up on archives, if not now, soon. One of the things that, when I asked the cherubim about Mother Mary, one of the things that they said was about her is that she had cleared all of this negative trauma from her emotional body through meditation and through the dietary laws. She was an Essene and followed strict dietary laws and spent a lot of time meditating, and she had perfected the physical in that sense. And so the fact that you are doing this meditation and you are feeling the peace is an indication to me that you are clearing that.
So you think following the dietary laws is a big help too?
I didn't hear you, Richard.
I said you think following new dietary standards and maybe restrictions would be a big help too?
Well, it has to be. in this sense. You know, the more we read about things like what we've done to our food supply, like white flour, like sugar, like additives, there's many toxins that we are bringing into our body all the time. Now, the toxins that we're taking into our body, and perhaps not drinking a pure enough water supply, has to have a bearing on the physical.
Okay.
And so, yes, I think...
I felt that that's where I was heading next. I've actually made some tremendous changes in the last less than 6 months. I quit drinking, and over the holidays I quit smoking, which that one's still irritating the heck out of me.
Not
but
smoking?
I've made these changes, and I feel tremendously better. It's just
you're on a fine path. And see, you're very wise, Richard, in that you're how shall we say, working with one thing at a time. One of the problems I think that we have is, you know, the new year comes and we make this list of promises to ourselves, resolutions. And there's just too much there to change and claim. You're working with one thing at a time. This is marvelous. And then the other thing that you are doing is you are putting the time into meditation. And
well, I've been doing that. I've been working with pyramids. I've got one of Dr. Fred's receptors. There's a lot of changes that I've been instituting into my life now.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
That truly is exciting. I'm real happy for you, Richard. You're doing great, and I'll be honest with you, this truly is a mission that all of us have today. No matter what job we decided to work with spirit, this is something that each and every one of us has a responsibility to do right now, and that is to clear the physical. And you are doing that, and that's marvelous.
Thank you.
Really happy for you.
That's why I was just kind of going back to,
what?
You know, if there was any specific causes
that
I was working on in this lifetime.
They're all great, and what I'll do is I'll take a moment and see if I can find something for you in addition to that. I'm not as fast getting to the... cherubim as Caroline is in getting into the theta state. So if you just give me a minute, dear, we'll see what we can find.
Okay.
They're showing me a cup. And it's almost chalice-like. And they're holding it up almost like a priest holds up the chalice at the consecration of the Mass. And they are saying to me that you have consecrated yourself. Oh, this is giving me chills. It's so beautiful. That you have consecrated yourself to the divine word of the Creator, and that you are working on bringing heaven to earth, and that you are doing this through your personal intent to be a shining example to your brothers and sisters, to bring that beauty of what you are to this place and time. That is beautiful, Richard. Did you hear me?
Yeah, it was. I've just had some wonderful, amazing readings that have come up lately. I kind of put my cards away many years ago, and I've just started pulling them out again. And a couple of my most recent tarot readings and even my ruin readings, just they pretty much caught me off guard in the direction that they said that I was going.
Well, what direction was that?
The most recent one, as of last night, basically talked about the confusion and the restraint and things that were going through me as in the past, mm-hmm. even recent past, the blank slate that I'm at right now, and then the, I guess, the spirituality that's coming over me towards the future.
I would suggest that.
It's a lot of the material things. It just, I was very materialistic for years.
And that's fading away for you.
Yeah.
Richard, spend some time seeing yourself as the priest that holds that divine chalice of the Creator's love. And I think that will speed you along. And next week, call in earlier, Richard. We're up to that time.
Okay.
Well, we got to say goodbye, and we could only give you that little bit because we were up against the clock. But
all right. Well, thank you very much.
It was beautiful, dear, and you stick with it. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Richard.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. And to all of you, my dear friends out there, I send you my love, and I say, let us not forget who we are. Let us grow and blossom in this place and bring the love of God to everyone that we meet. And if sometime you're not meeting anyone that day, then send it to the earth because the earth needs it also. Goodbye for now. With just a reminder, tune in to my show, Cosmic Connections. We've got some really great things lined up for that. And also, meet me at my website, carolynevers.com. There's some great stuff there, too. Goodbye for now. See you next week.